All right, let's open our Bibles and getting back to the Song of Solomon. And last week, thanks be to God, we Holy Ghost just brought to us a precious introduction, and we can never exhaust this. Matter of fact, this is going to be the love affair of the ages. It just gives us a taste of it, praise God. And I'm hoping that we just enter in just a little bit more. But this is the Song of Songs. This is the height of the love story. And let's go ahead and just read the first four verses before we launch into it tonight. It says, "The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." And as we get in now to the study, I've really been encouraged of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is not just a story, and this is not just even a love story. This is your love story. This is your love story, and don't miss it. Don't let this pass you by. I pray you always see, but especially as we study this, as that lover of lovers on his knee proposing to you. And I mean, see it. Don't let that be just something that's far-fetched. By the grace of God, allow the Holy Ghost to let you have such a vision of the lover on his knee proposing to you. Because this is the paramount of love of Christ to you. And in this, brothers and sisters, God has given you a heart for this. This is his purpose for us. The Word of God tells us so sweetly, "I would that all men be saved and come," so sweetly, "to a knowledge of the truth." But as anything else, as the Lord says, you know, it's of kings to search out a matter. So you search that out, and it says, okay, well, I can understand he would have all men to be saved. God said, "I'm not a respecter of person. I gave my son to die for the sins of the world. And all that is required is that blood to be taken. Thank you, Jesus, that you're my Savior." That requirement is done. But then it says, "and to come to a knowledge of the truth." And in that knowledge, as you look into the Greek, that word means a full knowledge, not just a knowledge like, "well, yeah, I know Jesus." But it means a full knowledge. It means an exact knowledge. It means a complete knowledge. It actually, if you get into the depth of it, it means an intimate knowledge, the intimacy that we can know as humans between a husband and a wife. So praise be to God. This is what this story then begins to unfold to us. This isn't just how we occupy as husbands and wife, even though I think there's some good tips in here. But this is about how Christ loves you. This is what he wants and he's already prepared. And brothers and sisters, as I said, and matter of fact, it's the Word of God. He's called you. He's chosen you. He's given you this heart. If you'll just believe him by grace and let the workman work this in you. And God help us to see how great a love wherewith we are loved. And in that, we'll begin to hear. And why again? Because he that hath an ear, God has given you an ear to hear this. You wouldn't be gathered here tonight if you didn't have an ear to hear this. So he that hath an ear, let him hear with the Spirit. And there we go. We understand it's going to be the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's going to be that one, that servant that was sent in that type as we got into Genesis 24 of Abraham sending the servant, speaking of the Holy Ghost, to find the bride, the wife, for his son Isaac. And it was so sweet as Abraham told the servant, "You'll find her. She'll be at the well. And she'll not only water you, she'll water them camels. She actually will just absolutely blow you away. Well, what if I don't find her?" "Oh, don't worry, you'll find her." And there he went. And my goodness, right off the bat, can you imagine that prepared vessel? That wasn't a happenstance, brothers and sisters. God saw you in Christ in ages past. He saw this for you. just as Abraham saw in that type of the wife that would be for his son. It wasn't hard to find. It was a pearl of great price. It was very rare, but my goodness, it was, if you want to say, well, I don't even like to use the word, but destiny beyond. It was the faithfulness of God. God chose you. He knew you even in the womb. Understand this, brothers and sisters, whom he foreknew, and he foreknew you in his son, to come to this point and to have this precious message that's given to you, not just a message, but the proposal of the ages. My son wants to marry you. Praise be to God. So he's given us a heart for this. He's given us an ear for this. And he asks us to listen to what the Spirit says to the churches, to sit at that well and to let him give all this love of the lover. And praise be to God, his true lovers will respond to all of his love. And I'll tell you what, we miss this, and we miss it like this. Unfortunately, you'll miss the passion that you could have lived in life. Those examples that are like Paul, they lived a passion. I don't need to circle those out. I believe I'm in the midst of many of them tonight. Praise be to God. Not that we've apprehended it all, but we're, praise God, we're running well. We're not running as one that beats the air. I thank Jesus for this, that he's drawing us nigh. But you know those that have had that. Again, it's just a sparkle. It's just, it's an amazing, the heart throbbing in that bridal sense, in a passion, not just to go home, but to embrace my lover. And I thank the Lord that he has given this so richly to us. But as we go on now in verse 2, it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now, I appreciate this very much because this already indicates that she already knows him. She knows him in a deep way. She wants to kiss him. She wants him to kiss her. And praise be to God, she's awakening to something because she knows she needs more. She needs this fellowship, and she wants more of his love. This is no beginner. I was thanking God. Nope, I don't see a first date here. This is one that is truly in love. This is one that has experience with him. But this is also one that you can also interpret who has resisted a bit, maybe been a little bit aloof to who he really is, and maybe hasn't settled down to really allow him to truly kiss her with the kisses of his mouth. Now, at this point, which is so beautiful, she is beginning to draw nigh to him. Amen. See, he hasn't moved. She needs to make that move, in a sense, to him. And immediately he will be there. He's always and never moved. But he will move in for this depth of love at the moment that she wants it. So I thank God that you can see that there is the worshiper coming forth in this precious, if you want to say this precious sister, this body. She's drawing nigh in fervent love as to kiss him. That's the worshiper. This is what's going to happen at this time as she begins to come in to this life of really matrimony with him. She occupies as a readied wife. She is saying, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now, this kiss is really something special. It means to equip with weapons. Isn't that amazing? You'd think, oh, it means this and that. Nope. This kiss in the Hebrew means to equip with weapons. She becomes armed. If you want to say this as it is, she becomes a warrior. Brothers and sisters, in order to win him, there is a good fight of faith that must be fought. And I thank God so sweetly as he shows us so wonderfully in the Word of God. We don't fight by our might. We don't fight by, in a sense, our power or any of these things. It's going to be by his Spirit. And I thank the Lord as he brings us to this point. We understand that faith, when we really have this faith to fight, it's because of love. The Word of God tells us that faith worketh by love. So do you see now these kisses of him equip her with how much she's loved? Amen? That's why we go on. That's why we grow in the Lord. It's not because of my diligence. It's not because of all the knowledge that I can quote Bible verses or I've been to church for years. It's because I'm growing in the knowledge of the love of Christ to me. I'm growing in how much he absolutely, passionately loves me. Remember, at the very beginning, everyone that has ever accepted Christ as Savior has had to come to the realization, God so loved the world that he gave me Jesus. The very beginning of this, you didn't get saved because of fear. You got saved because you knew that he loved you. He loved you. Amen. You have a Savior. You might have been prompted by fear, but it was love that saved you. It wasn't fear that saved you. It was love. For God so loved, he gave you his son, and he died for you. And praise be to God, the love match was on at that moment. And thank Jesus for that. And then, praise God, we knew that Savior. We knew our Father. Isn't that wonderful? And the comfort that, praise God, I know he is my Father. And that's where, again, Christianity can, it's so sad what man can do. But we know it's not flesh and blood, it's just spiritual wickedness. It tries to get people into fear immediately. I thank the Lord that I knew that even my natural dad, the Lord gave me such a wonderful daddy. I knew my dad loved me. He loved me. And I flourished under my father. I was confident under my father. I was confident my father would empower and do me in everything that was good for me. There were things I wanted, but even my natural dad said, no, honey, that's not going to be that way. But how much more so our Heavenly Father? And then we understand that in that love, that capacity. But then, praise God, he gives us scripture after scripture. He gives us not just story after story, but proposal after proposal of all of these types in the Word of God. Honey, this is just the beginning. This is just the very beginning that you understand. And this love is family, in a sense, a father. Maybe a family, and then you have the love of friends. This is the love, praise God, that matures and comes into this basically full-grown one that begins to understand what the love of bridal love is all about. So we come to this place, and the way that she is equipped is she knows that she is loved. You will never grow without the love of God. And that is the grace of God, the love of God. I loved how Brother Hill used to talk about the grace of God. It's the love of God working effectually in our life, powerfully in our life. Well, who does that? That's the Holy Ghost. Amen? He's the one that takes the love of God, and what does he do? Sheds it abroad in your heart. If you look, that means it means a gusher. The Holy Ghost is the one that causes the love of God to be this gusher in your life. Not just this false love, not just this superficial love, but a divine love for the Word of God. That thank Jesus that I know I'm loved. And believe it or not, it'll spout off in you as well too. That's why you can't help but praise him. Thank him. I thank the Lord. I see the transformation happening from glory to glory in us, in every realm of our life, whether it's in the trials and things. But praise God in our praise and our thanksgiving to God that I'm not shy. David was a wonderful expression of this. That's why he was such a man after God's own heart. He knew at least what his capacity was to know of the love of God, how much God loved him. He couldn't keep still. He couldn't. My goodness, I got to dance. I've got to praise. I've got to sing. God gave that to him. Don't you think that's just for somebody else? That, again, is for the lover. And I thank God as, again, he gives us this fellowship. But see, brothers and sisters, she knows that she is loved. And she's going to grow in that love. And not only is she loved, but she begins and will understand that she is the sole passion of his life. We're going to even get into that tonight. She is the sole passion of his life. Remember how we started this last week. How Solomon, he said, if I can't have her, I don't have a kingdom. I don't have a kingdom. You mean, Mom, if we're going to give her up, just have him, you know what? Take the kingdom. But you know what? That ain't going down. The only one that's going down, unfortunately, is my brother. Wicked one, you're out of here. And it was done. Understand how much God loves you. He'll take out a city. He will. He will take them out. Gives me chills to think how much he loves you. This is God. Don't get off in man's gooiness because it'll defeat you. This is God's plan and he loves you. Just like God showed Israel. Think of what he did. Think of the thousands upon thousands he took out for Israel. How much more so Christ for you? He's never changed. Amen? It's exciting. Take this love that we are loved. See, he's completely smitten with us. It's just like the story of Ahasuerus, King Ahasuerus and Esther. She was prepared for him. And all he could say, it's all what's mine is yours. And we thank God for this. But brothers and sisters, that's just it. See, love conquers everything. When we know we are loved and grow in his love, we can not only face anything, we can fight. We don't give up. We go on. We press on. Love causes you to fight for things like nothing else. Hate is a strong thing, but love even overcomes hate. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more motivating. There is nothing more inspiring than the love of God in our lives. As the Word of God has shown us, and many of us have lived this, my love causes a wife to leave all the comforts of her home. I saw my wife do that. She had a better, more comfortable life where she was living than moving up here to move in with me. And then, can you imagine the likes of a selfish guy could actually be so in love that, and again, it's all the love of God that my whole life, pretty much, and when you're truly in love, you prefer the other before self. It just keeps going that way. See, when people and couples start competing with one another and said, you got this and you got that, God help you. Love don't think about things. Love just wants to provide in those things. But you realize in a marriage, the greatest thing that we can provide for one another is the Word of God. Amen. And to continue to build on that. And don't feel bad if you've missed this time. Sure, there's a tenderness in your heart. But you know what? Now's the time. Amen. Isn't now the time? Praise God. Yeah, he's able. He can turn it. So we need to trust him for it. But brothers and sisters, it's wonderful because, see, this stuff isn't out of duty. It's out of love. There's a willingness. There's a joyfulness. But again, we're speaking of, again, our growth in love with the Lord. And this is key to going on and growing on in the Lord is love. It's more and more knowledge, more and more revelation, more and more experience of the love of God. And when we embrace all of his love, my goodness, we begin to love him back. We respond to him. And how do we respond? We respond by yielding, surrendering, trusting God. Where he leads us, praise God, I'll follow. Just like sweet Abraham. He just took off, man, wherever. I don't know where I'm going, but I know God's leading. So I know it's going to be fine because he's calling. That's the word of God, brothers and sisters. And we let him do in our life so much that he wills and does of his good pleasure in our life. Might not be the thing that you thought you were going to be in life. Might not be, as I mentioned to you the other night, I was visiting with a man that very accomplished many things, many goals in all of these things that he was going to obtain, and he had obtained so many things. Such a fine guy, and just listening, he says, well, what about you? And I said, well, there's just nothing except more of the Lord. He said, well, what about naturally speaking? I said, no, you don't understand. It's all about that. And then I got into the expressing to him about how, you know, God encouraged my life. As a young person, the Lord brought music to my life, and I loved to sing, and God opened wonderful doors for me to sing, and there it was. I mean, I had such a wonderful opportunity going overseas to sing at some wonderful, wonderful opera houses. As a very young person, it was all there. But it was so divine to me that God, when I was right there in that midst of, there it was, and there wasn't anything wrong. I know God opened that path for me. And that was what I did love to do. But God said, honey, go home. I didn't know what else to do. Thank the Lord, he did it. But I went home. went into business, went into all of these different things. But I was speaking to this man, and I said, but you know what? I never loved it. I thanked God for it. I loved how the Lord, again, he blessed me in the things that I did, but there wasn't a love. I didn't get up every day and think, wow, this is the thing I want to do the most. But it was the thing I wanted to do the most because it was what God set before me. And then the Lord continued to bring this to my life more and more all the time. It wasn't just like one epiphany moment. There's an epiphany moment all the time. And I can mark major moments in my life as God brought me to these points. From the age of 17, when I told you I was in a place I should have never been. Having a good time in the pleasure of sin for a season. But by the time I got to my car door, I was on my knees speaking in the tongues of men and angels. And the Lord was ministering to me, honey, I want to marry you. I knew it was mine. At the age of 17. And then he has been proposing ever since. And it's only gotten sweeter as grace has been apprehended to grow a little more here and a little more there. And it never, ever stops. It's getting more glorious all the time because of him. But see, brothers and sisters, that's what love is. Love does not think of self. It thinks of the other. How could we not think of him? Really? I understand we're in these weakened vessels of flesh, and oftentimes we don't. But knowing what we know and who he is, how could we not always think of him? And what a privilege it is to have our minds captivated on him, isn't he? Because he's the only one that's altogether lovely. He's the only one that's altogether beautiful. But the beautiful thing that he's telling us here, honey, the only way that really, really happens is for you to understand how absolutely ravishing you are to me. Yes. Oh, she talks about her love, and we're going to find this out for a long time, how much she loves him and all this, and my beloved is mine. But then at the very end, we're going to find out, oh no, I am my beloved's. I'm his. And his desire is towards me. That's when she's ready. That's when, you know, it's come away time. That's when, you know what? It's no longer we. Praise God, Lord. It's about you and it's about me. Praise Jesus. But this is this transformation that goes on and what the Lord will bring to, again, her life and again to our life as he speaks to us in this. But see, it's love that causes us to wait. And it's love that causes us to be patient. It's love that causes us to endure sufferings and hardships. Because again, with this kiss, he equipped us completely and confident in his love to us and in us. Praise God. Amen. I'm speaking, praise the Lord, as they say, you're preaching to the choir. Praise God. Like-minded saints. Isn't that wonderful of Jesus Christ and what he wants for us? But this is the confidence we have, brothers and sisters, that we have the greatest of purpose in every moment of our life as we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. I know there's no squandered time in him. I know there's no oops or accidents. I know that he is for me. And in that, then our life becomes this sacrifice of thanksgiving. We just thank God, don't we? It doesn't matter really what happens. I'm not going to say I like bad happenings. But you count it all joy. When you know him, you know it, count it all joy. And you know, we might think it bad or, man, that was an awful thing. But yet God says, I don't withhold anything good for your life. So it can be a sickness. It can be what people call losses, whatever it is. But in light of eternity and in the word of God, it's all gain. It is, isn't it? But this again, this flesh, this mind, it all fights it. Everything we've been given, in a sense of naturally speaking, is completely against faith. It really is. Because it's got to be God. He's going to show us that it's the new man. Nothing in that old creation is going to do anything. Nothing of that old nature is going to produce anything. It's all in the new man. It's all in Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why that's the only one to depend upon is Christ. That's why the only thing I can depend upon is the Word. That's why I can fall upon it and surrender to it. Again, because how much He loves us. So I can be fully confident that He is for me. And here's what happens is she begins to surrender to Him. And this kiss, I'll tell you, this is what this is. It's she's giving herself to Him. This is the beginning of her really saying, you know what, I will go. I'm not going to fool around anymore. I want to go with you. And praise God, He comes for His word, for your words, doesn't He? Just like the Word of God says, I heard what you said. I will go means I will go. I'm here. Praise the Lord, and we're going on. And it's with His mouth. And the word mouth here means the well. It always means a well. Isn't that wonderful? Like a well of water? Because His kisses, brothers and sisters, the only thing He'll ever kiss us with, because that is who He is the Word of God. He kisses us with the Word of God. This is love. Truth and love, that's exactly who He is. This is the lover and the love story, and the Holy Ghost is the one, again, that sheds it abroad in our heart. And she realizes this, and she says, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for thy love is better than wine. And this means, my beloved, it's getting serious here. It's not just love, beloved. Thank you, Jesus. That beloved, it's better than the wine. There's no greater high. There's no greater ecstasy. That's what this wine is compared to, in a sense, in this particular example here. There's nothing more exhilarating. There's nothing more intoxicating. Praise God, this is being drunk on the Holy Ghost. This is where we're, praise the Lord, you're just joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're thanking God. People don't understand this. They think you're nuts. And praise God, we can look into the Word of God and we're getting more excited about this time. We know this is the time of the coming of the Lord. And people are saying, oh my goodness, things are getting more expensive and the money's getting more worthless and these things are starting to crack and frack and all of these different things. The world's blowing apart and there's war and there's rumors of war. And I say, oh, thank you, Jesus, you're coming. Amen. Amen. When we look at this in our natural eyes, brothers and sisters, when we yield, in a sense, to the flesh, we'll get concerned, we'll get fearful, we'll get angry, we'll get bitter. We'll begin to look at what the other guy has. I'll begin to look at what I have or don't have. Amen? But when you look to the Word of God, there's one thing you're looking at. My eyes have turned on Jesus, and it's all good. We know that He perfects that which concerns me. I know that I'm not lacking a thing. I am full and overflowing. It doesn't matter what it is. I thank God that we can have that kind of courtship with Him. And see, that's what this is. It's a joyful courtship. Be joyful in the Lord. And remember, how was He joyful? It was the joy that was set before Him. It was love. That's why He endured the cross. He loved going to the cross. He loved that suffering because you. Amen? So think of the joy that's set before us. That's why the runner that wins the race, what does he finish with? With a full joy. It's a full joy. I always remember Brother Hill talking about the long-faced Christian. We're going to walk in here long-faced. You know, you got to be serious to really know God. Whoa. I'm sure my wife wouldn't have been very attracted to me if I had long face all the time. I like to be joyful. I like to have a good time. I love to laugh. That's what the lovers do. And that's what was so I'm so thankful about. That's why that king, he knew that Abraham and Sarah said, those two are married. They're laughing and playing with one another out there. Huh? That's what married couples should do. Instead of getting home and fussing and fighting about a car payment. Well, we need a bigger house. There's nothing too joyful in laughing about that. I just remember as I tell them, why did you get married in the first place? Love. Don't ever leave that. Or you miss the best part. Wonderful that things are built or whatever as God gives you, but don't miss the best part. I thank God for that. I know truly in my heart, brothers and sisters, as I told my wife many times over, we started in a little less than 800 square foot little place. God never let us leave that joy that you gave us in that little teeny home. And I mean it. And by the grace of God, I go back to it in a moment if that's where the joy was. It doesn't matter. Isn't that what you want? Because it's what he wants. This is the joy he's speaking of. It's not in things. It's not on my environment. It's not on who likes me or who's nice to me. It's not on what I have or what I think God needs to bring me. It's the word of God. Amen. And that's why by God's grace, as each and every one of us live that contentment before the Lord, and it's a joyful contentment, it's a thankfulness in whatsoever state we're in, that's the supplying to the body. That there can be ones that maybe have a lot of means, but you know what? Those riches don't have their heart. And then there can be ones that don't have any means at all, but yet they're just as joyful. Because it wasn't based on what I did have or what I didn't have. It's that we got it all in Christ. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. That's the beauty of him. This is why we know this is his work. But see, there's no greater ecstasy to her. There's no greater high. This is the joy. It's the engagement time that makes her joyful. Her love is exceeding because of his love to her. His love exceeds all the other joys. It's the joy that is set before her. All from the well, all from his mouth. But see, only love can set this aflame. Only the Holy Ghost can do this. We can recite things, we can quote things, we can know things, but without the fullness of the Holy Ghost, without that joy, brothers and sisters, it'll never be this kind of abounding hope. As it says in Romans 15:13, if you go right over there, it says, now the God of hope, now the God of hope, not someday, but now, fill you with all joy, not some joy, all joy. And peace in what? In believing the word, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. How many people do you know like that? Not very many. How many Christians really abound in joy and peace? I have lots of precious brothers and sisters. I listen to some of them, but it's almost like there's always just this fight to change the world. I know who's going to change the world. Matter of fact, we're going to have a new one. Not interested in this thing. I'm not. There'll be a time, I assure you, because the Word of God says this, that yes, the Word of God will be preached to every creature. And they'll go out and they'll minister, and that will be a great revival time. But that time ain't now. This is the time of the lover. This is the time of those that will say, I will go. Now, we thank God for this, see? And it is this Holy Ghost that we're reading of here. He takes the things of Christ and he makes them mine. Always remember this, just like that wonderful story in Genesis 24. What did the servant immediately put on Rebecca there as she listened? She put on the bracelets. He gave her the jewels. Let him put the jewels on you. And put the earrings on you and all of those things. Let him adorn you. Amen? He's got it all. I'm serious. Let the hair jump up on your arms. This is what he's doing right now. But you get your eyes off in the world, you're never going to see that stuff. He's just standing there with the riches of forever. Let me put them on you, honey. Come on. Come on. Enter in to this. But see, David, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, his love, that ecstasy, he typified that in the Old Testament, just like Paul does in the New. In the 119th Psalm, David talks so sweetly about the Word of God, this well. He talks about how the Word is sweeter than the honeycomb. He talks about the Word is more valuable than all of the riches. It's the most precious thing there is. And brothers and sisters, it's the reality that's brought to us. But see, it's not again by our doing. It's because of his faithfulness. And in his faithfulness, this is how he does it. When we start to turn, when we start to get a little bit fussy, you know what God will do? He'll bring us a trial. He does, doesn't he? He brings you a trial. And what does a trial do by the grace of God? Turns you to the Word of God. Lord, I need help. Amen? It's all right, see? Even in your unbelief, He abides faithful. Yes. He's going to perform that good work which He's begun. Just enjoy this, brothers and sisters. Understand this. Understand that wonderful fellowship that we can have. That even when we fail, you know what? That's the most beautiful fellowship we can have. But just being tender to God. As we start to wonder, as things start to, again, try to defeat us, but yet we turn to the Lord and there's a drawing nigh to Him. He tests us, brothers and sisters, to draw nigh to Him for these kisses of His mouth. And then from there, we continue to learn more of His love. We know more of His faithfulness, don't we? Amen? That's how we know what a lover He is. It's not from my perfection. It's because He's perfect. Praise God. That we know that, again, He's the one that always abides faithful, that always abides lovely. We find ourselves getting even under the covers eventually, just like Ruth did to Boaz. And oh my, how the love story unfolds. Now let's go on, read verse 3. Because of the savor of thy good ointment, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. And this is wonderful. The savor of thy good ointments. Ointments in the Word of God and in this time were used for a couple things, many things I should say, but a couple of them were to heal and to beautify. And I thank the Lord because that's my whole life, is healing me and make me more beautiful. And it's all for Him, and we know that He is the ointments. And there's something about the savor, that means the smell, the aroma. If you want to say this, this is His cologne. And I thank God, it's the oil, it's the anointing. And I'm thanking the Lord. See, brothers and sisters, there's an anointing of the Word of God when we come in here. And I do pray for this always. Lord, anoint Your people. Not just anoint this word. The word's already anointed. Praise God. It's anointed. It's got it all. Anoint us. Pour it on us. It's not just for one. We're entered here in Jesus' name. We are one in Him. We have gathered in here. Anoint us. Pour this anointing over. And He is doing it. The love is growing. And thank God for the abounding. But this is that anointing oil, just like it was that oil that was dripping from the beard of Aaron there. This was the anointing, as the Word of God talks about, of the kings and the priests. And once again, this is the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters. This is what this speaks of. And this is speaking of the joy unspeakable and full of glory life. And we thank God for that, that we can sing even in the jail cells. We can sing, praise God, in the furnaces. We can whistle a song and praise God in the valley of the shadow of death. But I was thinking about this cologne, and I thank the Lord so many things in life that He's given me that have had me thinking of Him. But I always remember my mom and how she would comment how she loved the smell of my dad. Just that fragrance of my dad. It wasn't the cologne. It was just, there was something about it. And it was amazing how she would say that. And then thinking of this as it drew me to it. See, this is Him. The aroma of our Lord. Oh my goodness, doesn't He smell wonderful? The anointing. And see, His anointing, brothers and sisters, is His name. There's something that's even a savor in the name Jesus. It's an aroma. It's the most beautiful smell. It just lights up every sense in your body. And it says here that, you know, He's a fragrance. And the fragrance is His glory. And see, that's the beautiful thing, brothers and sisters, is He's not just, again, afar off. He's not just next to us. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And see, that's the anointing. And then it goes on to say here in this third verse that the virgins love Him. See, ones of marrying age, they love Him. There's a love that begins to grow. The immature ones, they'll appreciate Him, they'll like Him, but it's the ones of marrying age that find Him lovely. And I will say this, and I think we're all of age here tonight as well too, but where it says there in the third verse, the virgins love thee, that's a sexual attraction. This is of ones that are mature in age. Again, this is just a type, brothers and sisters. What it's going to be, you can't imagine. How this is going to be, I have it. All I can do is just trust Him. But what he has given us to know him as in the heights of height is what he's given us with a husband and wife. And that intimacy to know him. And if it makes you blush, you know what? Maybe we've started. Amen? I mean, I'm telling you. You know, you get sitting there with mossy backs and frozen pews, you're in trouble. You're really in trouble. And then you just run around with strange fire, you're in trouble. But I'll tell you what, when you really know you're in love and you just, you know, I just can't be quiet. I got to run. I got to dance. I got to leap. Then he's getting somewhere in your life to know him. But these sweet ointments, and we'll stay with it here and get this closed up here in a moment. They were made from all of these different types of things like myrrh and spikenards and cinnamon and all of these different ingredients. And some was suffering, some meant the sweetness and all of it. But it all came together. And what was so sweet is these ointments. And it was just like was seen with that sister as she brought in that alabaster box. They used to put these ointments in an alabaster box. And some really wonderful things about the alabaster. First of all, in that alabaster box, they could put these ointments, and literally in this box, they could, those ointments could be there for hundreds of years even, and they would never spoil, that would never grow old. Well, isn't that the Lord? And then you think about that ointment, you think about the anointing, it needed, praise God, a vessel. And I thank the Lord how sweetly it's the treasure in the earthen vessel. And that's how this is. And that's the anointing of our life. And praise God. But it even gets a little bit better because the word alabaster, it means translucent. It means actually that you can see through it. And isn't that by God's grace? From glory to glory into his very image. It's just like those ones that really grow up in Christ. You know what? You don't see the person anymore. You just see Jesus. And it is wonderful, isn't it? And it's not anything but him. It's all the grace of God. And then another thing about this alabaster, they used to use the alabaster. And just think, we just studied windows. That's what they used to make the windows out of. So the alabaster was the windows because it was transparent. You could see through it. And again, as we studied about the window, what was always seen at the window? The depth, yea, the deep things of Christ. Paul's gospel. Those types of things were always at the window. What was the picture at the window throughout the Word of God? It was always the married couple. And I thank Jesus again. How much of this just types into him all over the place here. But this is the anointing. This is the ointment. This is what causes us, hallelujah, to be readied for him. Just like Esther. She was taken again by the chamberlain and put those ointments on her. And there was the preparing and getting her ready to meet the king, to be presented to the king. And brothers and sisters, if we will take this anointing oil, and again, this is the Holy Ghost, and just like Esther was instructed, honey, don't take anything but what he gives you. Don't bring anything else to that king except what that chamberlain gives you. Don't take anything else but what the Holy Ghost gives. And why is it just that the Holy Ghost gives? Because all the Holy Ghost can do is take the things of Christ and make them yours, to show them unto you. The Holy Ghost is here for one thing, and that's the minister of Christ. That's it. That's it. To prepare you. He is the one that gives the proposal at the well. This is this fullness, praise God, that we know that the Lord is giving us at this time. This will be the one, hallelujah, that will take that anointing and be his glory. She will be all glorious. She will be so readied for him, just like that king when Esther came out. Honey, it's all yours. It surprised her. And praise be to God. Even though we know this message, I'll guarantee you, by the grace of God, we apprehend to this, it'll still surprise you. It'll surprise you throughout eternity. You'll even have a body like unto his own. And you know what? Every moment, you'll just be surprised. You'll go, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. Praise the Lord. And it will be, because it'll never end. We haven't even got to the time of the exceeding riches of his grace. If I'm looking at this and what I know and what he's shown me, I'm saying, Lord, this is the exceeding riches of your grace. Honey, not until you got a body like unto my own. Then in the ages to come, we're going into the exceeding riches of my grace. What is in here? And that's what I tell him all the time. I say, Lord, what's in here? He says, oh, no. I'm preparing a place. I've been preparing it, hallelujah, since I've gone. The one who spoke it, but yet he's preparing. And it's taken all this time to prepare. Oh, what it's going to be there. Praise his name. All right, let's close it out with verse 4. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Now, this is such a precious verse, and there's many things that come out in this. But first of all, notice, draw me. Draw me. Brothers and sisters, she knows it's got to be his grace. It's not going to be of him. And that's why I'm encouraged to always encourage myself in the Lord and praise God as we encourage one another in the Lord. Pray, Lord, draw me. Pray, Lord, encourage my heart. If you don't feel like reading the Word of God, Lord, give me the desire to read the Word of God, to be in church, to light this flame up in my life. And you know what? He'll do it. He will do it. Just wait on him and he'll do it. This is his will. And brothers and sisters, I thank God this testifies to us that it is his strength. It's going to be him that separates her. This is wonderful, wonderful here. But here we have a first glance of a couple things. Because we start hearing immediately, she starts to say we. Now it's wonderful. And I thank God because we do. We need brotherly love. And we this brotherly effectual love that we really have as God is growing us up, it's bridal love, isn't it? But you'll never have that bridal love until you go. And I thank God this is kind of where we're beginning to see the first glance, really, that she's not ready yet. Remember, this doesn't end in verse 4. We got many chapters to come. And we know that there's this, again, somewhat of a struggle in her settling down. She said she wants these kisses, but you keep moving around, it's hard to kiss. Huh? You know what I'm saying? You got to be still, honey. You got to know that I'm God. Now, you said these things. I've come for your words. And he's faithful because we're going to know this story of, you know what, in his faithfulness, he's going to afflict her. He's going to cause her to be still. He's going to cause her to have a lot of heartaches and a lot of things in this euphoria of going after the Lord. It's still this fight, this battle of the flesh and different things. Amen? And he's going to settle her down. But here we have this first glance. And so what does she say after she says, draw me? We will run. See, brothers and sisters, no matter how much we love others, there's no we running here. There's no we. In wedlock divine, it's me running. I have to run alone. I'm so thankful to God that as we run to him alone, with him, we run together. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But I have to go run. You have to go run. And I thank Jesus that that's the separation is just what it is. We go unto him. It's now going to begin in this sweet woman's life. And in that, she's going to be separated. There's going to be pain. There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be a lot of different things. But there's going to be a joy that is set before her that nothing can compare to the glory that's going to be revealed in her. Again, going back to Genesis 24, you think about Rebecca. She had a wonderful home. She had wonderful family. She loved them. It was a very sweet place. It was a wonderful place. It was a very comfortable place. There was food. There was bedding. There was all of these different things. She had never met this man. She had only heard about him. She had received the testimony of the servant. And she took it immediately. Isn't that wonderful? Again, how prepared God has made you for this if you'll just believe him. And you know in your lives, as God began to woo your life, and you know the wooing, but the moment that you really responded to it, bam, he brought it to you. It was wonderful, the surrender. And praise be to God as you lighted up on that camel and said, let's go. The I will go became let's go. And you took off. And thanks be to God in that precious journey. But this is what this sister was so encouraged with. Yes, there was a lot of comforts. There was a lot of wonderful things. But my lover, I've got to go. And here's what we conclude with tonight. It says, the king hath brought me into his chamber. And how wonderful, brothers and sisters. The chamber here, it speaks of the bedroom. It speaks of the inner part. Well, let me tell you something. You don't go bringing all your friends into the bedroom. I just don't know what else you... I mean, it just doesn't work that way. I mean, this is the place only for the husband and the wife. And she sees this and she knows this. It's such a sweet thing. She's even speaking of this. But still, there's these emotions you can see that are still clouding her. But he said, no, honey, listen to me. It's you. I want to be alone with you. I love your family. I love your friends. I love all these things. But this is our time now. All right. Now, she's starting to come away. And this in that chamber, brothers and sisters, is where we know him. This is the knowledge of the husband and wife. And she needs that knowledge now. As the word of God says, the wife hath made herself ready. She is as this readied wife now, meaning that she is sanctified in that to him, set apart to him. As the word of God tells us, a vessel only for the use of the master. And praise God, this is this chamber where she goes into. And notice what's there. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Even though there's so much of we in here, brothers and sisters, I want you to really have that heart focused on the chamber. The joy that's in there. The love. The beloved. It outweighs everything. When our heart's affections are set on the things above, the things of this earth grow strangely dim. All the things that we put so much weight in, so much value in, and it's sweet how God does that, isn't it? And oftentimes he'll do it again because he is faithful. He'll show us that we can't have any confidence in anything of man whose breath is in his nostrils. I thank God as he's shown me. My purpose in life is just as yours, to win Christ. It's to win Christ. My defining of this life, believe it or not, as wonderful as it is, it's not being a daddy. It's not even being a husband. It's not defined as being a pastor. All of these things. I know God enables me to be in these things, and as I trust God, the Lord will anoint these things in my life. But it all comes from running to win him. The sole purpose. All I can do is by God's grace live my life for him. To love him more, to draw nigh more and more to the one who loves me so. This is my eternity. This is the forever. This is but a vapor. It's a precious trying of my faith that's more precious to him than anything. Lovest thou me more than these, honey? Put a lot of love in your life. Love for people, love for your children, love for all these things. But I don't want to worship my kids. Did you hear that? And you can. They can become your idol. Yeah. A spouse can. A job can. My comforts can. Thinking of, well, I'm going to retire and that's going to become my whole focus is my lotus land of ease in the last 10 or 15 years of my life. God, turn up the fight. Turn up the fight. Let me pant after you. God always put a desire in my heart. I want to pant to be with the people of God. Amen? If they're on the backside of the desert, Lord, I don't want to have a heart that wants to enjoy the pleasures of sin in Pharaoh's palace for a season. Huh? And I'll guarantee you one thing, as people of God, it'll grow old and he'll, in his faithfulness, you go that other way, it will be a miserable thing to you. It'll be a thing as a mess of pottage. My heart breaks for people that stayed in it too long. Because I hear the same thing, no matter who it is. I'm miserable. I want to die. And I've missed it. I don't want to say that. I want to be as that little farmer that was in the hall, ravaged with cancer. And all he could say to me is I was literally crying, looking how pitiful. There was my grandpa, my pastor, that strong man that preached up here for years. There he was sitting on the floor, his glasses sideways as he looked up at me. He said, "Oh, son, do you think he could come today?" That's what I want. I want it every breath. I don't want to just die. If he takes me that way, wonderful. But see, he that believeth on him shall never die. But oh, could he come today, Bob? Is he leaping over that last hill? Is it to that last moment? But there's a patience in the waiting here. There's a love that, Lord, I know that you know. You know what I need. You know the perfect finishing. Whether it's for my life or your life too. And that's how I have to trust God. Whether it's in your sickness or my sickness. Your heartache or mine. To truly to be able to settle in. And to look to the Word of God. And that's why we really need to lift one another's hands up all the time. Do you know how precious every life is in here tonight to God? Every life. Every one of you. The we is a good thing. But the upright, those are the ones that live by grace. Apprehend it, take it, and run. And run with every stride. I know he loves me. I know he loves me. You may think I'm too wicked. I might times that think I'm too wicked. But oh, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Okay. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed, and we'll pick it up next week.